Hey everyone, Chris here from After Hours. Wanted to do a little intro for this podcast. I haven't done one of these for a while. It feels a little funny. We got done recording and I got home, was looking through my notes that I generally have for the podcast, and not really sure what I was doing. Must have been off my A game for sure that night. Kind of missed a lot of things and some details and stuff I wanted to talk about and didn't even realize it till afterwards. And also we watched a video in the podcast, and again after we were done realized that I didn't have that channel turned on the board, so we didn't have any sound for it. So just wanted to give you a heads up, and I had to edit that part out so you didn't have all this dead air while we were sitting there watching the video. But I think you'll get the gist of what we wanted to talk about and an understanding of it. Just wanted to clue you in a little bit and let you know what was going on with this podcast. Definitely a little different. I was kind of all over the place, anywhere from full scale to crap. I mean, it's a little diverse. But I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think. And I guess we'll talk to you in a couple weeks and hopefully enjoy it. Sit back. Here we go. Welcome everybody, FT After Hours here. We're back in the studio. We're going to do some podcasting for you here. Haven't been in for a couple weeks, and we got a full studio, and we got some different guests in here this evening. But off the bat, we got a couple usuals. We got Wayne's back here, and Pat's back in here.
Hello.
And we got a newbie in here. I got a good friend of mine, Brian Harness, is in here, and we're going to chat it up with him a little bit and talk to him. He's fairly new here in the RC ball game, and we wanted to pick his brain a little bit and get his thoughts and stuff here in a little bit. But first of all, hey, let's start off with our usual crash stories. We were a little slow there for a little while, and I finally got some more in, and I know this is David's favorite segment.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of that, we got to go down and hang out with those guys, and Adam Drain came up from Dayton again. That guy, he's something else. You know, he drives up, 3 hours.
Yeah, really.
Comes up and hangs out for 4 or 5 and turns around and drives 3 hours back. But, you know, that guy, he blows me away with his aviation knowledge, with his World War II planes or, you know, the stuff that's still flying, like the, whatever it is, a B-17 or A6 text, anything. He either knows about the plane or knows the person that owns the plane or the history behind the plane. And David took a ride with a gentleman over in the UK in a Yak, and they were talking about it, and here found out that Adam knew the pilot that took him for the ride. So I mean, the guy's just unbelievable in his knowledge. So we got to hang out down there Sunday, and so that was a lot of fun. All right, let's let me get the email up here, and we'll talk about it, and I'll read, and then we'll talk about some of the crashes here. Some of them are pretty long, some of them are pretty funny. The first one I got was from J.W. Spilker, and this is I'll just read it, and then we'll go from there. It says, there was a park that was pretty good to fly right in front of my neighbor's backyard. A few of my neighbors bought slow sticks and have been flying for quite a while. One of them was nice enough to let me fly their plane from a buddy cord. It was great, and I got hooked, but I thought, I'm going to get bored with this thing really quick. I want something aerobatic. Now, how many times, starting out, you're like, that's the first thing you want. So either a Warbird or something aerobatic.
Or a jet.
Or a jet. So I bought a Yak 54 from Art Tech. It was back ordered from Banana Hobby. That was probably his first mistake right there, going through Banana Hobby. We all know about them. Was on back order for about 6 months. I almost forgot about the thing, and then it showed up at the front door. I put it together and did my darnest to get the CG where it was said in the instructions. I put 28 grams of weight in the cow to get it right. There's a other probably problem. If you had to put that much weight in the plane to get the CG, something's off. So I finally got brave enough to take it to the park, set it down on one end of the parking lot. I jam on the throttle, pull back on the stick, The nose was so heavy, the gear didn't clear the curb on the edge of the grass. Like so many others, my first flight was all of about 2 seconds. I had been fighting with this plane for almost a year, and after playing with the CG and a new motor and many sticks of hot glue, I finally got the sucker to where I could control it fairly well and do some limited aerobatics. The guy from the hobby shop came out to fly with us one morning, and we were all flying flow sticks. Everything was great. Then I decided I'd do a little show off and scooted home to grab the Yak. I threw in a battery, was whipping around, having a great time. Landings have been rough with this thing because I have to carry so much speed, and the park is a little tight with the houses all around. So my radio starts to beep, letting me know it's time to land. I set the bad boy up for a long approach high above the houses to get where I think I'm at a good descent into the park. I'm still clipping along at a good pace when all I see are foam pieces flying above the peak of one of the houses. No plane at all, just pieces. Pat, you've probably seen some of that before, haven't you? I completely misjudged the relation of the plane to the roof. How could this happen? So I had to do the call of shame and ask the neighbor if I could climb on their roof to retrieve what was left of my poor Yak. Everyone watching didn't know whether to laugh or cry. In the end, the Yak still flies. Sorry for it was a bit long, but I thought it was a funny story. I have another one that involves a baby blender, but I'll keep that for next time. Have a great day. Now, we've all done that. And I think talking to you, Brian, your dad, you know, when you first got going, you let him fly your Delta Ray. Didn't he put it on the roof of a pavilion?
Tree or roof, about everything you could find.
Right. And it happens all. Matter of fact, just when we were down at Chad's, David and Chad were flying FPV, matter of fact, was it a hex or an octocopter?
I don't remember.
I think it was a hexacopter. David's flying his tricopter and they're trying to get some aerial shots close. Now, mind you, they weren't on the ground watching. They were flying FPV. And what's David do? He comes right up under Chad, whack! Yeah. Rips his takes his landing gear right off of the octocopter. You know,
it's just, that was his hex.
His hex, yeah his hexacopter. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we've all been there, all done it. We've clipped fences,
light poles,
numerous light yeah. poles. You
wild,
know,
wildlife sometimes.
Wildlife sometimes, yeah, yeah. So I mean, it happens, and we've all been there. So no big deal, no harm, no foul. There was no holes in the roof. So that was good. All right, on to the next one. I got another one from a gentleman named Peter Landon. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. Now, this is a really long one, and I read through it, and I kind of wondered a little bit. And all right, so let me see if we can get through this here real quick. All right, says, hi there. Big fan of you guys. You put me back behind the sticks after 15 years of non-flying. So I wanted to share a nice crash story with you guys that happened a couple weeks ago with a Skywalker I built for my friend. It was a sunny day in September, no wind. I'm checking so that everything was good to go with the airplane. We're running an Arcbird autopilot system, 2.4 gigahertz, 1.2 gigahertz for video. I made a nice integrated landing wheel in the foam. After a nice takeoff, I was walking over to the FPV ground station to check the video and started to make a left turn, but the stick input didn't do anything. No response at all. The Skywalker flew straight forward just as I noticed that his antenna is missing from the big 7-inch screen mounted on the radio, making the view of the antenna impossible. I told my friend to give me the radio with the Wi-Fi booster mounted on it for safety. And we kept going. I'm trying to get through this. Okay, I told my friend that I was sorry. Seems like this plane is lost. He had a new GoPro video system, Arcbird, completely gone. The plane just kept on going. We packed everything in the car and started to drive towards the same direction that the Skywalker was flying. And I sat in the back with my ground station trying to get position with the video. After about 30 minutes of driving around, we started to get a little bit of video. We drove around and we checked the OSD and saw that it started to draw amps when I pushed the throttle. So now that we had radio link again, I started to program the Arcbird to show the GPS position. Success. A few hundred meters along the road, I put some throttle on it and there it was, sitting in the tree. So they found it. Okay, now they had to get it out of the tree. So we walked around, went up to a house, borrowed some string, attached it to my buddy's 450 quad and did multiple starts trying to drop the string over the airplane with no success. 3 hours later, it was still in the tree. We see the LED from the GoPro was blinking due to my friend had put the camera in loop mode. Then suddenly a nice hunter came by and asked if we needed some help. We waited he had a sky lift, but there was no charge battery. So after 2 hours, a hunter drove away to get the lift and come back and said that he still couldn't get it to charge. So that day was gone. They agreed to meet at 6 a.m. the next morning and got the sky lift out there. It has now been 12 hours since the Skywalker has been sitting in the tree. The hunter arrived with the sky lift. We had a hard time getting it out to the field. It was 10 meters from the road, but there was fences, rocks, and other trees. We got it up and running. Me and the hunter standing in the sky lift going against the Skywalker when it suddenly stops. The sky lift is only going 14 meters, and the Skywalker was sitting about 20 meters up. So down we went again. He got his gun out, and we were about to... This is what it says. He got his gun out, and we were about to go up again when the sky lift started to make a weird sound. The battery was empty, and we were done again. It's now 10:30 in the morning. We tried everything. We tried making bows to shoot it down, throwing rocks, sticks. Nothing worked. We got a hold of the owner of the ground, and he said we could cut the tree down, but we were scared that the tree would make a twist and land on the Skywalkers, so we didn't want to do that. Now, we made a call into the fire department. Now, this is where I thought it was a little sketchy, but after talking to David, he said in Sweden this is possible. Made a call to the fire department in town and asked if they wanted to help us. He got a nice answer that their fire truck with a ladder only reached 11 meters. So, that's out. 19 hours after the crash, we got a call from the fire department in the next city. They had sent out a guy from our city to recon the area. After 4 hours, the other town's biggest fire truck arrived and finally got the Skywalker down, and the bill was only $200. Now, that would never happen here. You're not going to call up a fire department and say, hey, man, my plane's stuck in the tree. Can you come out and get it? That just is not going to happen.
No.
So, I don't know. It's crazy that... you know, that they would do that for. I guess it's good. It says, my friend now will never fly again without checking the antenna mounted. And after some days, he said to me, Peter, remember that crash with my new Mini Skywalker on its maiden the same day? Well, guess the antenna wasn't mounted then either, was it? Just wanted to share this crash story. Listen often and love the podcast. So that was quite the story. I read that. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Now, this story is really good because I could feel for this guy. His name is David Hill. Listen to this one. Here's my story about my beautiful Christmas present from my wife. I was told to close my eyes and put out my hands. I opened them up to surprise of a new Dynam P-51 with retracts. Well, winter in Waterloo, Iowa pretty much sucks, so I waited until a decent day in March to fly in an area that had the new concrete roads but no buildings. Perfect open area, paved runway. I was successful for 3 or 4 flights. Retracts were new to me, but it looked great in the air. Well, this flight I put the gear down, I was on downwind. Just as I turned base, it fell out of the sky. Must have lost reception and fell on the roof of a lumber yard. I found that I could sneak over the fence, and I got my Parrot drone up in the air to check out the carnage. I couldn't get over to it, which turned out okay because I saw a big puff of black smoke rising from the roof. This is not good at a lumber yard. Oh, crap. This is a lumber yard, and my battery just blew up. Well, I watched the building for a couple of hours at every single angle imaginable and couldn't see up on top of the metal roof. I stuck around until there was no smoke visible left. I went home, told the family what happened, and the first thing out of my daughter's mouth was, hope you didn't have your name on it. The next morning, I stopped in and asked if the plane was got blown off the roof, secretly hoping they knew nothing about it. They didn't, but would keep an eye out for it. I stopped again one morning and talked to guys who worked out in the lumber yard if I could go up and check the roof. They said, sure. The only thing left was the motor and part of the melted prop.
Wow.
That was it, leaving a big scorched mark on the underside of the metal roof. The good news is the motor still works, and I got the bullet connectors from the ESC, so now I'm waiting for a plane to build around this big motor. That is scary.
Yeah, no doubt.
That is scary. I think I got a couple more here real quick. Oh, I got one for you, Wayne. I got this from Yolo Moho, was a strange name. He says, I love the podcast, huge fan, and I hear you guys often talk about the ultramicro radium, which we do, and how it thermals very well. But looking at it, it seems a bit fragile, and I was looking at alternatives and found the high-tech Weekender E-Hawkeye looks like it could be a good competitor, and it's even in the same price range. Maybe you could check it out and give your opinions. Now, I've seen the Hawkeye. I haven't flown one, but I was just going to mention, you know, that when you first look at the ultramicro radium, you think it's just going to fall apart. It looks pretty fragile.
Yeah,
but really, it's so light that, you know, once you get it in the air, you don't have any problems. And we've flown that thing out there in, what, probably 15-mile-an-hour winds, and it handles it good. We've had no problems with anything breaking. I mean, the plane is pretty tough. And my thing with that versus the E-Hawkeye is you're getting the AS3X. So if you're going to be out there and you're going to fly it in any kind of wind, you might as well go with the Radian. I think it's going to fly better. And I think personally, and again, I haven't flown the E-Hawkeye, but I think it's going to thermal a little better. So let me check. I might have one more real quick. If not... All right. Hey, one thing I wanted to mention, Wayne, and Pat, I don't know if you've seen this, but have you flown the I know Brian has because he has one, but have you flown the Nano QX, the little quadcopter?
No.
Okay. Phenomenal. Absolutely. I mean, we fly the daylights out in the house. We go down to Wayne's church, fly, and the thing is unbelievable. Now, they're just coming out, and I'm super excited about this. And I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but they're coming out with the first-person view version of the Nano QX, which means you are going to be able to fly around your house and in your house and anywhere, you know, around first-person view. So that, I think, is just going to be phenomenal. And, Wayne, I was checking around. There's some companies now that are coming out with some diversity receivers that will work with the immersion receivers, where you can put your spiro net or your cloverleaf antenna and then put a helicoil antenna on that. So you can, you know, run the diversity off of it so you get a little more range out of it. So you might be able to crank down the road or down, you know, the end of your street and back with the Nano QX or maybe, you know, go up a couple hundred feet and look around, cruise around. So, and they're only about $50.
Yeah.
So... I think that thing's going to be pretty cool.
You never flew the Nano QX?
No, I'm looking at it now. I don't think I have.
It's probably one of the best micro quadcopters I've ever flown.
Oh, man. I'm about to replace the motors on my flight. So
yeah, you pretty much wore that out. And Brian can attest, you know, that was pretty much your first quadcopter, I think. And I've seen you crank that around. You don't have any problems with it, do you?
No, I haven't had any problems. That was actually for my six-year-old.
And even he was cranking it around.
Flying it around. He sure was.
So, I mean, you know, for the price and what you get and the quality and everything, it is probably one of the best quadcopters. And then we've talked about it numerous times. It really is good. So now for them to have the same technology and bring it out for the first-person view where you can throw your goggles on and fly around the house first-person view, oh, man, the thing's going to be unbelievable. All right, a couple things I wanted to talk about. We're just, I don't know, we're kind of bouncing around on subjects and everything. But on the internet, it's been floating around, and we just watched a little bit of the video. Is they got these flying cars that people are working on. I don't know if it's really going to become a reality or not. And we would just watch some video on the, Aeromobile flying car. Now, we watch a video. What do you guys think of that? What's your thoughts? What's your opinions? I mean, I'll tell you mine here in a minute. But, I mean, especially you, Pat, being in the aviation industry. I mean, you see that, and as much as I think, oh, man, that would be so cool, you know, to get in your car, fly to work, screw this traffic, you know. Yeah. But the reality of it, really, I mean, maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 years, you know, when the technology gets a little bit better or – My thing is, you know, you get these rich people that go out and buy these or whatever, you know, you're not going to get some 16-year-old girl like, you know, I see these girls driving down the road texting. They aren't even paying no attention, you know. How are you going to put them in something like that to send them off to college or something?
Well, you know, that's not a new technology. I mean, that's been around for a long time, flying cars.
Right,
just in Washington, D.C. last week and had some time and went over to the Air and Space Museum annex,
mm-hmm.
and they've got a whole section over there with little gliders, little powered aircraft, and they had a couple of airplanes that were actually cars you could drive down the road, just like we saw in the video.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that technology's there, but I don't know if I'd want to take one that was out and available today on the family vacation, you know?
Yeah, right. And, you know, I kind of see where we're getting closer with it, especially with the GPS technology. I mean, you could almost basically, you know, set up waypoints or whatever and put it on autopilot. It would almost pretty much fly there itself.
Sure.
But realistically, you're not, you know, you get a lot of these in the air and you have a fender bender in the air. It's not yeah. It's not like, you know, you have a fender bender and you get out and you, you know, exchange insurance cards, you know.
Yeah.
You get a fender bender up yeah. there, it's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean the real concept of it, I just can't grasp it, and I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Well, you got to have a runway. You got to have a runway for
true.
Taking off at home, and yeah. if you're flying it to work, you got to have a runway.
Yeah.
So I don't see the practicality. It could be a fun toy for somebody who can afford something like
right.
that, but I just don't see, like you said, the practicality of a real world
no,
working Joe.
Yeah, it just seems more like it's going to be a rich guy's thing, you know, where he's going to fly to the office and he'll build himself a runway behind his company or something.
Yeah, well, you never know. I mean, you start out small with something like this, in a couple of years, you know, ideas get bounced off of concepts and projects like this, and before you know it, I mean, you know, that's where we now have the, you know, the vertical takeoff and landing capabilities,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, that was all, you know, started from ideas.
Yeah.
So there may be something in the future.
I hope so. I mean, I'd love to see it before I die. I really, you know, have my flying car. What do you think, Brian?
I think everybody should have one, because then I'll stay on the road. Be a lot less traffic.
Yeah, free up traffic space.
That's true. That's true. You know, I guess you'd have to watch for the crashes in the sky, yeah. you know, the one coming down at you or anything. I mean, the idea is phenomenal, but whether it really happens, I hope to see it in my lifetime. Whether it happens, I don't know. It's getting closer, though. Again, with the, I don't know, we'll have to see. But what that brings me up to is a couple years ago, a company, and I know especially a lot of the guys that listen are in the RC, the Icon A5 has been in the works for the last couple years, and Horizon made two Park Zone RC aircraft. They had the regular Park Zone version, and then they still have the Ultra Micro version. And I heard just recently they got some of their first production runs out. So I got on there and was looking around and checking it out. And what kind of got me looking at that is Wayne and I, was a couple weeks ago, there's another company out that's making what they call an MVP AeroPat. And it's in the works right now, and they're hoping in the next 18 months they're going to get this airplane out. But what we were fascinated about this airplane was it's same idea as the Icon, but it had a lot of features for like going out camping. The whole cockpit and everything would kind of fold back. You could put chairs out front. You could fish off of it. Comes with a tent. You can you know, beach it up on land, pitch the tent, camp in it. Has a hammock out back that runs in between the motor and the tail. You know, you can hang out there. So that is a real concept, and you know, they're working to get this thing out there. And again, it's way out of my price range, but you know, if you got a couple guys and you could afford it and get into something like this, I think that would be the absolute best airplane. You go anywhere with it, land on sea, land on, you know, pavement, grass strip, wherever, go camping with it, maybe throw your mountain bikes in the back, whatever.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. You know, is and again, that could be something where 15, 20 years down the road, when technology gets better, maybe the price will start coming down a little bit. So, you know, your average guy might be able to afford something like that. So I was online comparing the two between the MVP and the Icon, and I was digging into the Icon, and you guys just watched the videos before we got this thing rolling, and I was pretty impressed with the technology that's coming out with the Icon. And we watched one of them was they're putting in the the angle of attack indicator in it. But the biggest thing that I was impressed with was the spin resistance on the Icon. And we just watched the whole video on there, and I was kind of blown away of how this airplane, you know, really doesn't stall or goes into a spin. And I think, for $189, you know, wheeled out, ready to go. Really, I mean, for what you're getting, I think that's a phenomenal airplane. And what you know, where you could take it. I mean, obviously, you're kind of, You're kind of limited weather-wise. You know, it's not a full IFR airplane or something like that. But I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah, videos are really interesting.
Yeah. What do you think, Wayne?
No. Try to figure out how to talk to wife and let me own one of those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the concepts are great, and they look awesome.
Yeah. And I could see that definitely being, you know, where you get into a flying club and, you know, a club buys that airplane and you get, you know, 5-6 guys or something to go in on something, make it affordable. Then, you know, hey, let's go to the beach for the weekend. Oh, all right, you know.
The interesting part about that angle of attack, though, is the way they were playing it off is it makes it easier to learn to fly. Is if you're using it on
right.
this plane.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is the whole concept behind the Icon.
Right, right.
Is to make it easy to learn to fly.
Right, right. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So, guys, out there, if you don't know much about the Icon, just hop on YouTube. There's a ton of videos on it. You know, they really get into the specs and show you the new technology going into, you know, a light sport aircraft. Just stuff you don't really see. So, interesting. All right, now... Let's pick on Brian for a little bit.
Oh, Brian.
Brian's fairly new into RC, and I guess I've been talking to you. Man, it's probably been a year. I kept promising to take you out and get you flying, and finally, late summer, we made it a reality. But we've been doing this for so long, and got away from people learning to fly. We wanted to pick your brain a little bit, and. I guess my first question is, was it something you ever considered, or was it something you've always been interested in and just, didn't know how to get into it or where to get started or something like that?
Well, I've always been interested in planes and flying. I've always wanted a pilot's license. So I do flight simulators on the computer, whatever. And then the first time you talked to me, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and you told me it was... Styrofoam. I kind of thought, styrofoam?
You want me to fly a beer cooler?
Yeah. So I had no idea what it really was.
Uh-huh.
And then when we just went this past year, that was phenomenal. I didn't know.
Yeah.
There was anything like that.
So you haven't, ventured into a hobby shop or really looked at them or anything? No. Didn't know anything about them?
Didn't really put much thought to them.
Now, was it something just because you thought, it would be too hard and too expensive?
My dad had one when I was little. He never, he had the frame of one. He never had the engine.
Uh-huh.
That was back with the engine and the gas and all that. So he never did get that running. And I just kind of forgot about him over the years. But then after that night we went and saw that, I was hooked.
You were hooked right then.
Well, we went out, the next day and bought one?
Yeah. Now, just so everybody knows, we took Brian out and we flew him on the Hobby Zone Delta Ray, which me personally, I think if starting out, that is probably the absolute best plane to teach somebody how to fly. For one, it's got the three modes on it. It's very docile. It does handle some wind in the beginner mode. But the thing I really like about it, it's got the twin engines. And nothing hanging off the nose. So you can really auger that thing in hard on the nose, and you're not breaking a propeller, you're not ruining bearings, you're not ruining a motor. And to attest to that, looking at Brian's Delta Ray, I think it's getting to the point where it's more hot glue than anything. But the thing still flies today, and it flies relatively good. So
still flies great.
Yeah, right.
Just doesn't look pretty.
Yeah, definitely doesn't look pretty. But, you even got your dad into it now, right?
Yep, my dad went out and got the same thing. He loved flying mine, and he liked crashing mine a lot.
He doesn't want to crash his, just yours.
Yeah. So I got it back, though. Don't worry. I think I tried expert mode out on his. he went out and got one.
Uh-huh.
And we've flown a couple times together, and he's still kind of getting the hang of it. we haven't had a lot of time, but he's getting a lot better. And, you know, we have a blast. Great thing to do.
Yeah. Now, was it the same thing for him? You know, he was maybe kind of interested or whatever and didn't think much of it till he actually seen like you that, oh, it's just a, you know, piece of foam with a couple electric motors on
it. Yeah. I think, you know, if you just hear styrofoam, you're thinking, well, that's going to bust up in no time.
Right.
But, you know, they don't know the new styrofoam and
right.
and the beating it can take. So once they actually see it,
mm-hmm.
I think that makes a huge difference.
Right. And I think what really sells that plane, and maybe I kind of play it up a little bit, I don't know. But, you know, when I take somebody, you know, how many times have you been there, Brian? Like, we had the maintenance guy from Jackson come out one time, and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? You can't be flying gas planes over here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's just styrofoam with electric motor, you know. He couldn't believe it. And I did a little demonstration, and I said, here, you want to try? I could tell, you know, you could tell right away looking at somebody, they're intrigued. They're like, wow, it is kind of cool. I said, here, fly. And he's like, oh, no way. I'll cry. I said, no, you won't. Did a little demonstration. I mean, within 10 minutes, a guy was cranking it around. Never even had a radio in his hands before, and wow. He was flying around. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got to go get one of these, you know, tomorrow. So, you know, I think it's a true test that, you know, with today's technology that anybody can really, really get out there. And it's cheap. I mean, that was one of my things, you know, I was always kind of interested in it, but I thought, oh, man, it's really expensive. You got to buy the radio and you get the plane. I'm going to have $800-$900 in it and I'm probably going to go crash. You know, what's the Delta Ray? $150, you know, out of the box, ready to go. You know, how can you beat that?
Yeah.
You know, even 3-4 years ago, you couldn't do that. Now, Brian, I'm interested to know, and I don't. That's really the only plane you've flown, but you're flying with the SAFE technology. If you were kind of attempting just with a regular plane and maybe crashing a lot and fixing a lot, do you think it would deter you from it?
Right out, if, like another plane as my first plane.
Yeah. Right.
Possibly, yeah. But then, I mean, you might either it'd either be that or it'd be. I'd get so mad that I'd want to master it, and uh-huh. I'd keep at it.
Okay.
I think it would be one or the other. Or if it just ended up costing me too much money,
right.
I'd just give it up.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So, yeah, but the Delta Ray was great. I'm flying intermediate expert mode now, and I'm ready. Probably sometime in the spring I'll mm-hmm. upgrade to another one.
Uh-huh. So. Right. And I mean, you've used that panic button, or we call it the oh crap button. Mm-hmm. You have used that quite a bit learning, haven't you?
Few times.
Yeah.
You know, that was the hardest thing is I knew it was there, but I just wouldn't hit it. So I kept thinking I could recover, and I couldn't. So that happened a few times, but I've gotten the hang of it. Now, you know, I know it's there, and I can get to it pretty quick, and
mm-hmm.
it's saved me a few times, no
right.
doubt.
Right. So, you know, I just think, you know, for today's age and you know, kids and especially a lot of guys that, you know, or I guess there are some girls too, but you know, a lot of people want to get into the hobby are like, man, I just mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, to be able to, you know, keep something in your car like the Delta Ray or whatever and just go around. I mean, Pat, how many times have we been out there even before the Delta Ray, you know, we've had people come up and go, man, that is really cool, I'd love to try it, you know, when they just like, I don't.
It's intimidating.
Yeah.
And you know, no one wants to crash, but the beauty of it is, you know, with glue and how they're made today, you could be back up flying in a,
right,
you know, 15-20 minutes. You know, long ago with balsa, you would put together a kit that would take weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no SAFE technology, no stabilization, nothing.
Right.
You know, there was no buddy. Well, there may have been a buddy box. There were no simulators, things like that.
Yeah.
We didn't have all the tools that were available for us today. And what put all that time and effort into building something from almost scratch, taking it out and, you know, just shards and pieces after after getting off the ground 10 feet.
Right.
You know, it's just very, very discouraging. Yeah. So, yeah, I think... you know, today's materials and technology, it really does a lot to promote people getting into it
and staying. Because, you know, that's the other point. How many people have finally said, okay, I'm going to spend the money, and they go get something last 30 seconds, maybe tried it one more time and then said, forget it. This ain't happening. Yeah, it ain't worth it. So now, Brian, what, now that you've been flying a little bit, what are you looking forward to, like, you know, even in the spring, or what's your next step or next goal, you know, with the flying? What do you want to try to do, or what do you want to learn, or what's, you know?
Well, just a plane that's, you know, like the Cub Sport, something like that, a little Cessna. Mm-hmm. I like those a lot. Something, probably something without the safe technology, just so then, you know, I have to control it the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Just something like that. Maybe that'll feel a little different, a little bit faster.
No EDF jets or anything like that?
No, we won't go that far yet. No, I'm happy with just getting that thing up. I'm more about height than speed, I think.
Uh-huh.
I like getting that plane up there real high.
Uh-huh.
And just
cruising around.
Yeah, that I like.
Yeah.
The speed and aerobatics and all that. I mean, that's neat. And I like that too, but I prefer to just go up and just cruise around and relax.
Right. Just enjoy it and make it more of a relaxing experience, mm-hmm. instead of going out there with your hand shaking and dreading, oh, hope it don't crash. And yeah.
See, and that's what helps with the learning curve too, is I think you learn a lot faster when you aren't that scared. I mean, when
I
you're
agree.
Shaking.
I totally agree.
You are such panic mode, and a lot of times you overcompensate, overcorrect.
I agree.
But when you have a plane that's $100, $150 as opposed to $300, $400, $500, $600, something you can throw together in 45 minutes as opposed to something that took you a month to build.
Right.
You don't have as much of a fear factor when you're flying it. So I think that would make it a lot easier. It gets rid of that, makes it more comfortable, and then you work your way up till finally one day you says, you know what, I can now go out and get that plane and build it.
Right.
And then you'll feel a lot more comfortable flying it.
Yeah, because after my third plane, a slamming in the ground, trying to learn inverted, I was done. I'm like, that's it, I'm done. It took me months to, build up the courage again to, you know, try to do some inverted flight or knife it or whatever. I was just so frustrated at that point, you know. So, and you, Wayne, and I know we already talked about this, but it was fantastic to see the look on your face. Because when we took the Sukhoi out, because you didn't even want to fly that thing. You're like, nope, I don't want, you know, but when you were out there and you were up there and you were just banging the sticks around and you were seeing what, you know, because that really, you have never done that.
No.
You've never tried anything before, nothing at all.
Nothing like that thing.
And when you were up there and just to watch the look on his face and the smile and to see him, I mean, I've never seen Wayne smile like that. Just almost giddy. He's up there banging this. And had no fear, absolutely no fear with that Sukhoi. I mean, a full-on 3D aerobatic, high-performance airplane. Wayne's up there banging the sticks around. Never even flown inverted before.
That thing was fun because that thing, you point it and it'd go. Wherever you point it, whatever you told it to do, it would do it.
Right.
You know, there didn't seem to be any bad tendencies or anything. You had to fight or overcompensate or whatever. This thing is just, you think it and you tell it and it would do it.
Right.
That was a blast.
Yeah, that was a
Can't
lot of fun.
Can't wait to do that again.
So, all right. Any other questions for Brian about newbies or anything like that that you can think of? I just thought it was interesting to, you know, we haven't been around anybody new that's, you know, been learning for a long time. It's nice to get, you know, back to that perspective and, you know, get their thinking.
Yeah, because it's nice, you know, it's always fun to get new people in, you know, and find out, okay, what was the obstacles? What stopped you from going that route?
Right.
And then now that you're into it, what would you like to see? You know, what would it have taken to get you in earlier?
Right. And, you know, I've had probably four or five guys that, you know, that bought Radians. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been out flying the sailplanes. They've seen the Radian and, oh, man. And I've actually even met them there, set it up, and I've had them flying, and they've later on crashed them. I had one guy had one in a tree, completely disintegrated Radian. I took it home for him. I fixed it for him, got him back. Never haven't seen him since. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really kind of bums me out a little bit, you know. They want to get into it and try, and then, you know, realize that, you know, I don't.
Unless you found a new field.
Yeah, could be, but, you know, so interesting stuff. All right, Wayne, we're gonna stir up the pot here a little bit. We're gonna, I wouldn't say get controversial, but let's find that video.
It's that tab right there.
This one here.
Yeah.
I want you guys to watch this video now. Let me talk a little bit before I get too in-depth and get myself wound up on this. This is a video that actually, it was last year, and It's off of a forum. It's a gentleman. You know, I'm not going to get into detail with it, but it was a gentleman who bought the Carbon Cub. He was all excited about it. He made a little video. He just bought it and was out flying it. He had some trouble with it. Nothing, and you'll see the video. We'll get your opinions on it. Nothing, I don't think that's anything that we haven't done. But this poor guy, after he played the video on the forums, pretty much got flamed. I mean, this guy got ate alive and was to the point where he said, you know what, guys, I don't think this hobby's for me. Maybe I ought to just sell my stuff and get out. So we talked about this last year on a podcast, and we never really even put it out because we got pretty heated and we decided against it. But now, it being this old, and I think it's kind of important, you know, when you do get some people in the hobby and they like it and enjoy it, you know, you got to help them out. We've all made a million mistakes out there. I know I've made a lot of mistakes and probably done some stuff I really shouldn't have, but we all do it. And I think, you know, we just need to help each other out. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play this video here and you guys can watch it and I'll talk about it a little bit. But he bought a brand new Carbon Cub. He's out in a huge parking lot. It does have some light poles there, big paved runway. His dad's out there filming with him. And it's a pretty cool video, and it was actually kind of funny. So we'll watch this. I'll explain it, and then...
That is one of the cool things about that thing. It does have so much power.
Oh, poor guy just wants to get this thing down on the ground.
Yeah. And you can hear the wind.
It's windy.
Up. Of course, the guy commentating isn't helping much either.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, that was pretty funny, I thought. Yeah. You know, watching that, I mean, I've been there. I mean, Wayne and I have been there. We've been there in the wintertime.
Yep.
I don't think the guy did anything wrong. There was nobody around. Which one?
Go back to GarageBand.
All right. You know, obviously the dog got in the way a little bit. But the guy was out having fun. He just bought it, was probably dying to maiden it, you know, in 30-mile-an-hour winds. He was excited. He threw that, you know, up on the web, on the forums, and I mean, this poor guy really got ate up bad, and I felt bad for him. You know, after watching the video, what do you guys think of that though? Do you think he did anything wrong, or do you see anything that, you know, out of the, you know, some of the guys were saying like he could have damaged the property, hit the light poles, and I'm thinking, you know how many times we've ricocheted off the light poles with a foam airplane? Yeah. You're not going to hurt that thing.
Yeah,
there's just no way. You know, and he even admits, he says, I'm an amateur pilot. I was still learning to fly. I don't care for the club atmosphere. I like, you know, go out there by myself, you know, and learn. I love the hobby. I'm not overly serious about it. It would suck to lose a $400 airplane on the flip side, but it's just, you know, kind of a fancy toy. And he said, we've been flying in the same area for months. We're fully aware of the dangers in the parking lot, and we chose to fly there because there's 20 acres of open land there. And we typically only use the parking lot for takeoffs and landings. And you know, it just brings up the point where we got to help people out and try to, you know, keep them in the hobby a little bit.
Well, did he make mistakes? Well,
absolutely. He did.
But the thing is you don't discredit, you don't tear him down, you don't get personal about it. You just say, okay, dude, let's think about this. And I'm sure most of his mistakes, he realized it on his own self. I'm sure he knew what he did wrong and he probably wouldn't do it again.
Right.
But it's, you know, but people do have a tendency to get a little bit personal on their attacks. And that's just, and that's where I can understand some of the club mentality, is because it does get so political. It can, you know, and it's just cut people grace. You know, hey, we all make mistakes. It's just like, you know, I mean, as long as he's not being stupid and actually disregarding everybody else's, you know, health and everything flying over their heads or something, then I would have had a problem with it. But he wasn't. He was out there and just about to destroy his own plane and take out his dog. But.
Right. And I'll read some of the comments on here because I thought they were rather interesting. But one of the guys was saying, you know, this is a high-performance airplane. Now, Wayne, you've seen me fly this thing 100 times. Right. It does have a lot of power, but honestly, the thing, it's so easy to fly. Yeah. It lands, so it can be a real pussycat. Mm-hmm. It really can. Yeah, it's a bigger plane. I think a guy with his skill or an intermediate would have absolutely no problem. Pat, that plane is easier to fly than the Sport Cub that you flew and was doing the touch and goes on the baseball field.
It sure didn't look like he was being irresponsible.
No.
I mean, he wasn't flying it in a grocery store parking lot or at a football field full of people. Right. You know, I mean.
Right. The only thing I seen was, you know, a dog got in the way, but that's a dog.
Well, you know what? Usually that only happens once.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, Dexter didn't want to listen, so, you know.
And really, he looked like he was having a better time than all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Just a couple of comments, and I'll read them to you because I think they're kind of comical. It says, these are the flyers that generally give the hobby a bad image to the public. I do hope you see the reason why you shouldn't be flying a plane like this in an area like that. Regardless of what the plane is made of, it's a giant scale plane. I hope you don't get defensive and stop to realize that you should find a suitable place to fly. This is a parking lot. That is a perfect place to fly. You got 20 acres there. Yeah, you got a parking lot with a few light poles, you know, but who cares? Another guy says, no, you should be more careful and learn how to fly better before you try flying. You demonstrated in spades why this plane is not for rookies. Thank goodness no one was hurt. Find an open space to fly and stay away from runways with light poles. How are you going to learn, you know, any better? Mm. You know, I'll read another one. Nothing personal, but I have a vested interest in this hobby. I'm not known for candy coating my words. I simply call them as I see them. Most of us who have been in this hobby for decades understand the slippery slope that our hobby is on today and has been in the past. You admitted that you are a beginner. Your choice to fly in high winds and under power with the flaps extended with an unfamiliar plane pretty much proves the point beyond any shadow of a doubt. This plane is absolutely not a trainer. It is not intended for beginners or novice pilots. Even says intermediate pilots right in the manual. By the way, giant scale aircraft are certainly not toy airplanes. This is one of the flippant attitudes that drives those of us who have an interest, invested decades of our time and many thousands of dollars into a hobby that we love absolutely nuts. We will not sit quietly on the sidelines when you see irresponsible behavior from those who regard giant-scale aircraft as toys. Nor will we candy-coat our words and be all PC about it when we call somebody on their irresponsible behaviors. Mm. And, I mean, I got a list of them here. But I was – at the time this happened, I was blown away. I mean, I was really – I watched a video, and this guy was going down in flames. And I see if I even have his response here somewhere. He says – you know, maybe I should just get out of here. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up and talk about that. We got to try to stick together. I don't care if you've been in the hobby 30 years or whatever. If you see somebody making some mistakes or whatever, you got to try to help them out a little bit.
Out of those comments you read that were critical of his flying skills or his experience or his condition. I didn't read the comments, but I didn't hear anywhere where you said, you know, that they were offering to help him.
Exactly.
You know, call me up. Exactly. Where are you located? I'll get you.
Exactly.
I'll get you in touch with someone in your local area.
Exactly. You know, or give him some pointers.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, you know, and when the winds are that high, you might not want to use full flaps or, you know, you want to, you know, just help the guy out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone learned on a...
You know,
a trainer airplane.
You right.
Know, the guy wants to, if he's never flown before, he wants to go out and buy a, you know, an F-18 EDF and crash it into the ground. That's his business. You know,
right.
As long as he's not being negligent. And,
right.
And you know, compromising others' property or safety.
Right.
That's his business.
And you know, the thing that got me too, really kind of got me wound up, is it wasn't just one or two guys. As you can see these pages here, there was like six or seven guys. You know, once one guy started, they just like kind of jumped on the bandwagon with this poor guy.
See, it's easy to hide behind a screen name.
You know?
It's easy. Yeah. You know, it's easy to throw bombs and not offer any constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone there that commented may be a great accomplished RC flyer, but they all had to now, start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Now maybe they are.
I think after decades of flying, maybe they forgot what how they flew in the beginning.
And you can't tell me that they didn't make mistakes.
Well, and you know, and they're talking about, well, it's guys like you that make this hobby look bad. And it's like, no, actually, it's guys like you guys that make this hobby.
Exactly.
That was one of the reasons why I walked away from it, because people were so intense and just... It was everybody had their political views as far as flying and their rules, and it's just like, this is a hobby, dude. I mean, I got enough stresses in life. This is supposed to be fun.
Right. Who would you rather be out of the field with?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
The guy that's going to say things to you like they wrote in the comment section, or the guy who is having a good time and trying to get it down on the ground.
Yeah, but you look at the flight test. I mean, flight test itself, the guys and the way they fly with grace, they bring people in, they don't belittle people, and look how it's taken off. I mean, you know, the fan base and even at Flight Fest, it was just how much fun everybody was having, you know?
Right.
And it is. It's just taking people in and then just teach them, man. Have some fun with it.
Right.
You know, don't
educate and elevate.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know what his name was, but I would hope he's not discouraged.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Yeah, I almost wanted, you know, back then at one time to send him a little message like, hey, buddy, hang in there. You got any problems? Or, you know, and who knows, maybe he watches flight test now. I don't know. But I hope he's still hanging in there and still flying the Carbon Cub, because that plane is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Hey, come out to Flight Fest 2015.
Yeah.
They're already starting to talk about it. We'll get that going.
Right. So other than that, I think that's about all we got going on today. Well, we covered a bunch of little stuff, nothing too drastic. Just wanted to get in, get a little podcast for you guys out there and get things rolling. And I know we still got some stuff coming in for review here. Hopefully the weather holds up, Wayne, and we can get some stuff out. And we'd like to get Pat back out there. I think we still got the I'm losing my mind. I can't think. Well, we got the LaBelle still coming. Mm-hmm. We got the Park Zone. What's the one that's I can't think. Taking place of the it's kind of taking over the T-28 that's in the box. I think it's over there. What is that on the box? Right there.
Oh, there.
I'll get it for you.
Artisan.
This one?
No, the box. Look at the box. What's the box?
Oh, the artisan.
Artesian.
Artesian. Thank you. The artesian is still sitting here. I think I got a couple of those in the box. They haven't even opened the boxes yet. Pat, I think you like that.
Artesian or artisan?
Artesian, I think. Okay. I think. Pat, you'll like that one. That one's kind of taken over the
T-28. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And it's got the AS3X. Doesn't have the safe, but it has the AS3X
check
in
that
it.
Out. I'd like to fly that Sukhoi again. I think that may be my
Yeah, absolutely.
That may be my next airplane.
Like that one.
Yeah, we've all been talking about that.
Yeah. In the springtime.
Right. So, guys, thanks for coming in. Brian, thank you. I drug you down here.
And thank you
very
much.
Probably get you in again, because even if we get some stuff for beginners, I'd love to get your hands on the sticks. Come
anytime.
In, do a little review on it.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of future crash.
Yeah. If he keeps hanging around us, he's going to have some crash stories. So
only because you're pushing the envelope.
We like to have fun.
For it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
so
don't post it on.
Send in your crash stories. We love to talk about the crash stories. Keep sending them in at chris@flighttest.com. Check us out on Instagram at @FTAfterHours. I know we've been a little slow on that lately, but we've just been busy. A lot of stuff going on, so we'll get...
The weather hasn't been
The weather's been pretty crappy, so we'll get back on that and get some stuff out there. So other than that, we'll be back in a couple weeks, and we'll see you guys later. All right?
See you guys.
See ya.